Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Green Seas podcast. My name is Craig Eason. I'm the Tradewinds technology editor. And in this episode, it's going to focus on a discussion that I had on the stage recently in Shanghai, China, during the Tradewinds shipowner forum there, where I had ship owners with new building order books that include new fuel capabilities as well as new fuel readiness notations on the stage alongside representatives from three of China's leading shipyards. I was the moderator and I wanted to ask about this trend of being a first mover and ordering something that yards have maybe not had as much experience building or installing new environmental clean tech that they may be unfamiliar with.
This week's episode is brought to you with the support of Bureau Veritas.
At Bureau Veritas, each and every one of us is by your side to help you navigate your decarbonisation journey and shape a better maritime world.
So, here we were in Shanghai for the Tradewinds Shipowners Forum, and the last panel of the day had a pair of ship owners from the West. In this case, it was in the shape of Stena Group and Wilenius Wilhelmsen, and on the stage, a trio of shipyards from China. They included Grace Feng, who's deputy head of shipbuilding department at COSCO Heavy Shipping Industry, Yang Hong Lian, who's technical director of Hudong Zhonghua Shipbuilding, and Zhang Qipeng, deputy general manager of Shanghai Weigou Keyou Shipbuilding. So let's start with the two ship owners that were on the stage. One was John Collander, general manager of Stena Group, and the other Morten Skedmo from Wilenius Wilhelmsen. Both companies have been building vessels in China and still have an order book with the yards.
I am John Collander, and I'm working for Stena. And Stena is a Swedish ship owner group. Our order book now, and I can say first, Stena is a Ro-Ro, Ro-Pax tanker, LNG and offshore owner, you can say, in those segments. And our order book now at the moment is four vessels still to go up in Weihai, Shandong, actually it is five, sorry. And those ships are Ro-Pax and short sea Ro-Ro vessels. All of them are dual fuel. So the ones that still has to be delivered is dual fuel, either with LNG or methanol. We have two with LNG, and it should be three with methanol.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Morten. I'm from Wilenius Wilhelmsen, the Norwegian company running car carriers, 125 vessels. We have on order today eight vessels. They are PCTC 9,300 cars. All of them are also dual fuel, all of them methanol.
Okay, so they'll be delivered capable of running on methanol. Are you doing any notation? Are you going to go for ammonia ready?
Yes, they are also ammonia ready. But at the moment, we are following the path to make them ready for methanol from day one.
Okay. But when you are going to be looking at ammonia ready or have an option for ammonia, how far can you go in designing a ship for a fuel that doesn't exist yet?
Not very far. We cannot do very much. We have to pay attention and follow every month on this development. And of course, the further the construction program comes, the more expensive it will be to take this turn to ammonia instead of methanol. So it's perhaps today more likely towards the later vessels in our building program. But still, we are, of course, monitoring this very closely.
So that was Morten Skedmo from Wilenius Wilhelmsen. So while the ship owners have vessels on order, the expectation is that they may want to change the specifications occasionally for the vessels as technology, engines and commercial considerations evolve. Now, the shipyards build vessels based on slot availability, and to ensure that slot time spans are maintained, they do, of course, want to have some amount of certainty. However, even the yards recognise the need for the shipping industry to transition today. So here's Grace Feng, deputy head of the shipbuilding department of COSCO Shipping Heavy Industry.
For us, in fact, when ship owner come to us, you know, we think, you know, we want to clear, you know, which kind of fuel, you know, he selected. Since last year, we find more and more people come to us, you know, they want to do some methanol dual fuel. We have received quite a lot, you know, methanol dual fuel. Now, our order book have, you know, methanol dual fuel containers, methanol dual fuel bulk carriers, and also tankers. For these ship types, we have, you know, methanol dual fuel. And of course, for LNG, before we have already did a lot of work. Now, more and more people come to us, they want to do ammonia dual fuel. Yeah, for us, you know, we need the more information and input from the makers. That is
from the engine makers.
Yeah, from the engine makers. But now we have already started, you know, start the study, and now what we could do it is we may think about ammonia ready. The ready is maybe just the space, you know, ready, and also we would like to do some, you know, higher stressing or something like this.
There's different types of readiness.
Yes.
I know you could argue that it doesn't mean too much at the moment because. Yeah. But, you know, there's readiness where you've just created the space in the engine room or on the deck for the fuel tanks. There's readiness where you may have identified where you can put pipework through a bulkhead to be able to sort of identify where you're going to put everything. So there's different steps of readiness. Would you say that are you there? Are you able to deliver different types of readiness?
Like this. We want when ship owner come to the shipyard, we want, you know, he could clearly tell us, you know, which kind of alternative fuel he want to use. Because now when you say ready, some ship owner come to us, they want to be ammonia ready and, you know, methanol ready, too ready, what we called. So for this too ready, we cannot do too much things. But if already fixed, we want methanol ready, we can do. We can do more, you know, work here to leave the to do the piping, you know, preparation to study more.
Grace Feng at Costco on the need for clarity from the engine makers in particular and understandings of fuel readiness notations and the ability to deliver different types of readiness and fuels for ship owners. And there we even heard about two ready for more than one future fuel. So it's not just a question of this relatively new idea of building vessels with different types of readiness, which is a notation that ship owners can pay class societies to prove that they meet, and some fuels have different types of notation for the same fuel readiness. That makes it even more complicated. There's also the fact that ship owners are looking for new technologies, abatement technologies or new fuel-saving technologies. In recent months, I've seen a growing number of clean tech firms signing MOUs and even having construction facilities in China or elsewhere that are close to the main shipyards. So how do the yards react to this growing interest in clean tech? One technology that many owners have been talking about and certainly turns up in press releases on my desk is about onboard carbon capture. So I used this example as a new technology that shipyards may see having to be added to the makers list for certain ship types. Here's Yuan Hong Liang, who's technical director at Hudong Zhonghua Shipbuilding, with an interesting perspective about the ship owners' hesitant moves into clean tech, basically ordering things on a trial basis first.
For shipyard, for carbon cap, CCS. CCS scenarios, we are ready to make this together with engine maker. But as you know, is only very limited projects. Is test for bulk carrier, for container vessel. Yeah, maybe it's only one for bulk carrier, one for container vessel. Yes, ship owner side, there is also one to test only for this period. It's only test. So, and there also for different ship type and have different idea. Ship owner also want to consider this maybe is economy. economy aspect to consider this is okay or not. Mm. So for CCS, yes, scenario is for technology is ready, no problem. But especially for container vessel, maybe it's more easy because of having enough space to install this yep. equipment. And there, and also for the bacteria, it's also not is, under have finished one. And also space is no problem. Technology is also no problem. So I think yes, maybe from owner side, they want to consider that yes, they want to continue to more and more projects or not for the CCS. Mm. And for the energy saving device, air lubrication system is now is more and more projects already included. But how to say, it's because of this, for different ship, the test condition is different. So very difficult to see how much the advantage can be achieved for ship owner side. So ship owner, now is for our projects, yes, mainly we ship owner want to install this one, we will make, but we have for one container vessel, and also for NG vessel have this very big flat side, flat bottom, it's more easy and more advantage for this one, but for others it's not included, and for others, for wind, based on this ship type, maybe have different ship have different.
That was Yuan Honglian, the technical director of Hudong Zhonghua Shipbuilding. So with this lack of market certainty, it is difficult, according to the shipbuilders, to meet and easily meet some of the ship owners' demands. Here's Zhang Qipeng, deputy general manager of Shanghai Waikyo Pqiao Shipbuilding, after I asked him about how much certainty yards can offer ship owners over order book flexibility and in particular slot availability in a shipyard, bearing in mind that shipyards sell slot availabilities rather than just ship types.
Obviously, I cannot. I think we are just a supplier to the client, right? The business is driven by the client, not by the shipbuilders, because technically it is not so difficult to build whatever, methanol, LNG or ammonia. It's difficult compared with some conventional vessel, but not really difficult. But today, for shipyard, what we can do is prepare all the solutions, make it ready for the client's choice. But obviously, we know the clients is quite difficult also to make decision. We even have clients, to change the mindset.
That's a good point. Is there the flexibility in the yards for an owner with all of this fuel uncertainty, with all of these questions about the regulations? How easy is it, given all these regulations and the market changes, how easy is it for a ship owner to go to a yard and say, I've changed my mind?
Basically, it's very hard to change. Yeah. It is a system. Not simply to say you have ready or you have a real ammonia ship. There are big difference. It can be huge. Because sometimes when we are talking about ready, it can be very light. Technically or documentation wise, but it also can be physically ready without the engine available. So it also depends.
Yeah.
But basically it's difficult to change.
Because one of the reasons I'm bringing that in is because we know that there are the ammonia engines are not ready yet.
Yeah.
The engine makers, they've made a lot of promises about when they're going to be ready, and they're saying they're coming in next year or 2026, so maybe 2027 there may be some engines available. So if Morton has got his vessels on order now, he's suddenly realising, hang on a second, we've got the engines now, I want to be able to put the engines in for ammonia now. We've got the design ready to put where we're going to put everything. So he may well go and change, or want to change, but he's going to be looking for yards that can give him flexibility.
The design of the ship is not only design, but the facility, the slot availability.
Hmm.
It is linked with the delivery slots.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind the delivery timing, if you don't mind the cost, it can be flexible.
Okay.
But all of this costs a lot of money.
So you can pay
somebody needs to pay.
You pay for flexibility,
yeah.
Basically. Let me bring you in now here, Pan, because obviously you're the middleman here. Do you feel that relationship between that you've got as a broker between the ship owners who want to place the orders for new builds and the yards, is that getting squeezed a bit? Is it getting more complicated for you because the owners know they have to do something but don't know what, and the yards want as much certainty as they can get?
Okay, as far as I experienced that, actually, if you work with tier one shipyard, I mean, first class shipyard, for instance, like Costco or SWS, Shanghai Weikoshou Shipyard, is not a difficult one, even it's not a challenge as brokers to propose owners to them with dual fuel engines, for instance. The major challenge is that if owners like to, you know, pay, you know, just like, you know, this gentleman expressed, it's a matter for cost, it's not a matter for technology. Because, as you know, shipyard is always a place where all equipment and materials are assembled, yeah? So if they can build a cable, for instance, if you can build a VLCC, and the owner go into LC, we like to build a dual fuel type vessels. Actually, most shipyards have good ideas about the cost, okay? If we are talking with the tier three or tier four shipyards, there are going to be a big challenge for me as a broker. So I have to invite friends from class, from a design company, even, you know, from a major makers to give them education. Yeah. So I told them it's, you know, most important thing you have to calculate the price accurately. Just like, you know, 20 years ago when the people or first time mentioned the PSPC, you know, everybody was so nervous. But after that, now it's, you know, like peanuts, neutron. So it's not so difficult. That's a subject to where to work with. Yeah, which shipyard you work with? Tier one, tier two, or tier three? Even green shipyards, you know.
So you get what you pay for.
Yes. Sure, exactly. Yeah.
But let's go back to you, John, then, here now, because you've got your order book, you've got your vessels on order. Let's go back to that flexibility discussion now. You realize that you may want to place other orders. Would you tend to go to the same yard as you've got that previous order, or would you look somewhere else, depending on the price, simply because they've got a solid R&D department that can actually work with you? Could you run through some of that conversation that you might have in a yard selection, even though you've got a yard that is building your current order book, how you would then consider the yard for your next series of vessels, which you know are going to be in service well up to the 2050 date almost?
After this session, of course, we will change to Hudong and Waigao Chao from present shipyard up in Weihai. No, this was a joke, but I think for some shipping segments, it's easier to shop around a little bit with shipyards. If you build container vessels, bulkers, even tankers, standard tankers, you have quite a lot of choice. For us, building RoPaxes, it is not so many shipyards that can or are good in doing that yet in China. There are a few, which is very good. Including my friends here, but maybe you can count them on one hand's fingers. For us also, we have built up a site team with our own staff at the shipyard, and we have a long and fruitful cooperation with that shipyard. But you should never say never, but it is for ours, in our segment of RoPax as RoRo, a little bit high step to change, but it could happen.
Yeah. So you're going to need to be very collaborative with the yard then. If you are going to have a vessel that is zero emission, almost zero emission, you're going to have that dialogue with the yard and work very closely with them. But you still know that you've got to help them, have you? then find that decarbonization solution that you're going to need on those vessels?
Yeah, of course. We need to come with our input in regards of energy saving measures. You mentioned wind power, and that is also coming in our segment quite a lot. What has not been mentioned so far in this conference is hybrid battery installed.
Hmm.
When I said we have 5 vessels still on order up in Weihai, all of them are hybrid with battery on top of the dual fuel. So for short sea Roro in RoPax in Europe, hybrid is almost essential now if you're going to build a new one.
Morten, with your vessels then, how do you see? Let's go back to that ammonia question. Then there's, like I said, there's no engines, there's no fuel, and the shipyards will look at you as if to say, you want a what?
Yes.
How do you move that dial?
I think building ships like this in itself is a very big puzzle, and building ships towards an uncertain fuel future is an even bigger puzzle. But that's sort of the life we have chosen. So we need to find the good partners who are able to think of us and discuss with us as partners, not just as vendors or buyers.
Hmm.
And we look also for, we notice that some of the yards think about their designs more as platforms now, not as finished products. So that they are used to thinking modules and basic vessel design, but with various contents according to our customer demands.
Yep.
And also we think the good partners are able to provide flexibility in the contract to change stuff, even with open books, even after the deadline has passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a cooperation mode, then you can sit down and discuss and find good solutions together. So that's sort of the game we are in, and I think both we and yards, we have to think about what was mentioned in the earlier session about abatement cost. It's a bit new for us to think about abatement cost, but that's really the core of it for us. What does it cost to remove every ton of CO2 with the different measures, whether it's engine choice or design or hull lines or energy efficiency measures? Everything boils down to abatement cost. And we find that a lot of the initiatives we can take are actually not a cost at all.
Yeah.
As long as it saves fuel and we have a long-term horizon for our investments, then a lot of it is a negative cost or is a profitable upgrade.
Anyway. Because I guess the future fuel's less energy intense, you're going to need more of it. You're still going to need to be very, very focused on how you can use as little of that fuel
exactly
as possible.
So all vessels we have, whether it's old or new, we need to do everything we can now to reduce the future need for fuel. We are using more and more biofuels now on our existing fleets, from just 1% of our fuel demand last year to over 10% this year across a large fleet. That's a lot of biofuel. So we have to make sure that we consume as absolutely little as we can.
Let me go to the 3 yards now. Another question here, and it cropped up a couple of times in the previous, and that is the first mover initiative. There's this question, and I think somebody says, whatever it is, it's better to be the second mover, or the third, or the fourth. Don't be the first one to go and order something super new and put new technologies on. But what, from the yard perspective, is, what's your thoughts about first movers? Because if I, as a ship owner, or one of these two as a ship owner, I'm going to come to you as well from this. If I come to you with something new, do you go in shock and turn away? Or do you look at a first mover and think, this is something we can really do because it's going to show us as a very positive, forward-thinking yard? I want the yard's interpretation of the first mover syndrome that we've been talking about today.
Yes, for the shipyard, you know, we sometimes we don't like to be the first one to do something. That is Because to be the first one means you need to take more time for discussion, for details discussion, and sometimes it also costs more. But we also have some good shipyard surveilling is always open. We want to cooperate with the ship owner to do something, to try something new we have a very good example for the wind vanes installation. That is last summer we have already do the retrofit for one Consumex. The charter is the top trader. And this project is done in our CHI Shanghai. It is a retrofit project. After the delivery, we received some feedback from the charter. Everything is perfect. It has achieved a very good, fuel saving. Averagely, it could save around 3 tons per day. And under the best conditions, it can even, be 11 tons per day. It is a very exciting, figure. So after this, shipyard also has the confidence. We do this not only for the retrofitting, we do for the new building. So I think, when we can, for shipyard, we didn't want to be the first one, but when we see some good example, we would like to cooperate with owners with some new technologies. That is our ideas.
Yeah, for shipyard, as you know, the flexibility is not a good thing.
Flexibility is not a good thing
for shipyard.
Okay.
And because to be the first, that means you maybe have some risk. Because for the new technology, everything is not fixed. If you change frequently, maybe for yard, maybe a schedule will be big impact. And there will be changed again and again. Mm. And that is not a good thing for shipyard to make this production. So, but if the technology is okay, no problem, we can make this one. I can start this one.
As a shipyard, we also like certainty. But for me, I think for shipyards who didn't like to be the first one, one of the reasons is business model of shipbuilding or shipping industry. Shipping industry is a traditional business. It's a turnkey contract, which means, if shipyard to be the first one and take the risk, everything belongs to shipyard. But compare with other business like offshore, you can see shipyard and the owners, they share the risk. Sometimes we call it open book, contract.
Yeah.
That this is kind of a difference between shipbuilding and offshore, which makes the shipyard dare not to be the first one. I think this is one of the most important reasons.
Go on. Yeah. Then I'll come in. Bring in Pan.
Mr. Zhang Qiping, you built the first cruise vessel in China. That means you are not a risk avoider at all. And on top of it, when you finish the first cruise, you build another. You are there for.
You have a good point. For that project, it's very special. It's a hard story. Yeah, it's very hard. And we lost a lot. Even we get a lot from that project. At least we demonstrate we can build successfully. But commercially, it's a huge challenge. But frankly, there is a very special reason to build that project, right?
Are you building more now?
Now we are building the second one.
Yeah.
Which is, will be launching within next month. Yeah, thank you.
That was a selection of clips from a shipowner and shipyard discussion that I had during the recent Tradewinds Shipowners Forum in Shanghai. It is telling, I think, how the yard representatives, and there we heard from Grace Feng from COSCO, Yan Hong Lian from Hudong Shonghua, and Zhang Qipeng, Shanghai Weigou Qiao Shipbuilding, see the challenges of this transition. And as Zhang Qipeng suggested, the yards may need to have everything more or less available on the table when ship owners come with an order request with new untested technologies. But owners may find, therefore, that if slot times for orders have to be extended and new ideas have to be incorporated, especially if they are just one-off trials, as mentioned with carbon capture, then the price will go up. The yards will want certainty to maintain slot times, and let's face it, a delayed slot delivery will impact the next ship owner in line. And meanwhile, owners expect the yards to be flexible, especially when it comes to ammonia engines, which engine makers are still working on perfecting the designs of, and then trying to find and secure the licensees that will be able to build them close to the shipyards. Well, that's it for this episode of the Green Seas podcast. Remember to subscribe if you're listening to this on your favourite podcast app, or go to the Tradewinds website and you'll find all of the episodes of Green Seas, and as well as our new podcast, Wavelength, available for you to listen and download. Until the next time, my name's Craig Eason. Goodbye.